You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385.
This week, I want us to celebrate. This is Pride Month, and there is a lot in which to rejoice. Just last week, the Supreme Court ensured the civil rights of LGBTQIA people, ensuring that they could not be discriminated against in the workplace. But this celebration and this Pride Month is not just something that happens one month out of the year. We celebrate all year round for the many gifts and the ways that this church and this country have been enriched by the gifts of LGBTQIA+ people. Our congregations are stronger. Our communities are more vibrant. There's still more work to be done, and we will do it. But we know that we're moving closer to the time when these siblings cannot be made invisible by the church or by the country. They are seen and always have been seen by God. And now we can see that in fact, all of us are created in God's image.
That's Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, talking about Pride Month. In addition to statements like hers, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has recently published a guide for its congregations navigating the ever-changing advance of the LGBTQIA+ agenda. As the acronym grows, so do the various ways that everyone is supposed to accommodate themselves to the movement. The ELCA is all in on that. The guide advocates for full welcome, inclusion, and equity of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual, aromantic, that's the LGBTQIA+, Lutherans in all aspects of church life. It's a bit of a speech guide, too, instructing people what pronouns they can and can't use. Pretty typical of the sexual revolution. Not so typical of Christ's church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about this new guide on LGBTQ issues published by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Dr. Robert Benny will join us for the first half hour. Hadley Arkus joins us after that. We'll talk slavery and contemporary calls for social justice. He's Professor Emeritus of Jurisprudence in American Institutions at Amherst College. Kristen Day joins us to talk about the Democratic Party and the Hyde Amendment. Democratic leaders are hesitant to touch it right now, but if they have their way, that amendment that prevents and has prevented since 1976 federal funding of abortion will go away. Then we'll talk with Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, about two issues. One, the quality of life ethic in healthcare, and the ethics of blocking puberty in transgendered children. Joining us to talk about a new guide on the LGBTQIA+ issues published by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Dr. Robert Benny. He's Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College. Dr. Benny, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you again.
Back in 1988, when the ELCA was formed by merger, becoming the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, did anyone anticipate this future for that church body?
Oh, yes. It was already written on the wall, as it were. Back in the 70s, when I was still something viewed as a liberal, I was in a commission on women in church and society. And already then, issues of acceptance of homosexuality were very strong, pushed by radical feminists. So one already got a glimpse of what was going to be pushed hard. And then in the 80s, the run-up to the church, almost the whole decade of the 80s was spent on planning and envisioning what the new church would be like, and bringing the ALC and American Lutheran Church and Lutheran Church in America together. Planning groups were set up, and in those planning groups already, there was, the first time I heard it, way anticipating the society, was diversity inclusivity. And of course, on the surface, that meant inclusion of women, which soon was enforced by quotas, as well as 10% people of color. And then, of course, right lurking in the background were sexual minorities as part of inclusivity and diversity. And, of course, that has moved to the fore now after the organization of the ELCA in 1988. But, oh, yes, the bureaucracy, particularly the youth group, the youth organization in the LCA pushed hard on homosexuality issues already through the 80s. So it was already on the agenda. The American Lutheran Church was less vigorous about that than the Lutheran Church in America, but I was deeply involved in those, and, of course, we saw it coming.
Where does, if you can tell us, where does the average member in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America stand on these issues? Are they as all in on the sexual revolution as their church body is?
You mean currently?
Yes.
Oh, heavens no. There are many, many congregations that wouldn't accept a partnered gay pastor and do not marriage gay people. But the ELCA was wise in its sexuality statement that it accepted back in 2009 to identify four different perspectives that might be that people in the congregations hold, and one of them was two of them were kind of the traditional Christian view of homosexuality and homosexual conduct and gay marriage. And what the ELCA has shrewdly done is continued that for local congregations. But beyond the local congregation, there isn't any flexibility about views. One could never get a job in the church bureaucracy or the synods if one held the traditional view. But in order to stave off wholesale flight from the LCA, it allowed congregations to kind of hold traditional views. And many of them do that. But in the long run, it's going to be untenable because there won't be that many pastors coming out of the seminaries that will accept the traditional view.
So what can you tell us about this guide for congregations that has been published for the ELCA on LGBTQIA plus issues?
Well, I just looked at it. I don't pay much attention to the ELCA materials anymore since we left the ELCA in 2009. But upon your kind of hint with your link, I looked it up. And they're, in many ways, they're quite subtle, careful about not reading people out if they have traditional views. But the assumption is that over time, they will come to the view that the church holds. And in spite of guaranteeing this plurality of views at the local parish level, there is no question, as you ran the bishop's statement, the presiding bishop's statement, there is no question that people will be gently massaged toward acceptance.
So is this the kind of thing that a congregation in the ELCA can either adopt and, in some sense, enforce, since they're talking about how people address one another with their pronouns, and other congregations are just free to ignore?
Oh, yeah, a lot of congregations just ignore that kind of thing. Many pastors don't want that kind of conflict over sexuality issues, so they more or less guard, are kind of gatekeepers against what's happening at the national level. The congregation that we had belonged to for 33 years, just a few blocks from us, does that. Its pastor is pretty orthodox. They stay away from the hot-button issues on sexuality, and the pastor doesn't press the national church's views on the local congregation. In the local congregation, there'd be many people of traditional views, but they don't leave because, as I like to see it, belonging trumps believing.
What does that mean?
That means there are old Lutherans from the Virginia Synod, which is kind of familial, and the congregation they've belonged to for many years, it's relatively traditional, and they're not going to leave, even though they disagree with the national church on these issues. I should add that the continuing outflux of congregations from the ELCA is a real thing. I'm a member of a new Lutheran church called the North American Lutheran Church, which split from the ELCA after 2009. And there's a stream of congregations still leaving the ELCA when they see the full implications of what those decisions were in 2009, which kind of opened the floodgates in a way that the ELCA can't say no to anything. You're probably quite aware that one bishop presided over a name-changing ceremony of a transsexual pastor. And this is where it gets really dicey. It was done at the baptismal font, which and used water, which is awfully close to rebaptizing a new person who has transitioned from being a male, no, from a female to a male. So a bishop presided over that. It's hard to believe. And, of course, there are a couple of gay bishops in the ELCA now by that. So there's no turning back at the national level. But somehow, just like in Episcopalianism, you will find traditional parishes that live under the canopy of a very liberal Protestant church.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Benet. He's professor emeritus of religion and philosophy at Roanoke College about a new guide on LGBTQIA plus issues published by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
A lot of people, it seems like we're kind of living in a sci-fi movie, like the Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something, where every day more people, especially young people, are being brainwashed into this radical cultish ideology.
Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire talking about his presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
One that divides people based on race, militates against the family, keeps scorn on our history and our national heroes, denies basic truth. Science, objective morality, all of that is denied. But how do we engage with this movement? How do we confront it? And how do we defeat it?
You can watch Matt Walsh at this year's virtual Making the Case conference, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Conference registrants can watch live or at their convenience. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new guide on LGBTQ issues published by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Dr. Robert Benet is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College. Dr. Benet, I'm curious about some of the language that is found in the guide. It says that it advocates for, quote, the full welcome, inclusion, and equity of LGBTQIA plus Lutherans in all aspects of the life of their church, congregations, and community. You said that the document is somewhat subtle, trying to fly under the radar there. What does that translate into?
We were looking at two different documents. The ELCA itself has a document for discussing difficult issues, one of which is the presence of same-gendered pairs in the church. But what you're quoting from is a group of an independent Lutheran organization called Reconciling Works. It used to be Reconciled in Christ, which is a lavishly funded pro-LGBTQA organization that was instrumental in getting the ELCA to change its teachings on sexuality. And, of course, they are full bore in pushing hard for full inclusion. And, of course, that doesn't mean just tolerance or being accepting. It means embracing the whole agenda. So they're full-throated, hard pushers, let's put it that way.
Why is this such an obsession for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? They spend a lot of time talking about it in official circles, and they spend a lot of time studying the issue as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's part of the larger diversity and inclusivity agenda, which includes racial issues now. And, of course, we're now in a frenetic time in which institutions are being overwhelmed by the diversity and inclusion ideology. One stream of that is the sexuality one, and both of those have hit our college just enormously hard right at the time when the college is wondering whether it's going to have any students in the fall. But anyway, I think it's a huge cultural accommodation to what Robert Bella called in his famous book called Habits of the Heart. He said the great traditions, which he called Republican and Biblical, are being undermined by two forms of individualism. And the one that is really relevant here is expressive individualism. And it is an enormously powerful stream of what one could call anti-culture in American life that holds up individual expression, what one feels internally to be expressed. That's the kind of authentic life that not only therapists help you to do, but the culture is in increasingly encourages. And if there couldn't be anything more extreme than expressive individualism, it would be transgenderism, where one's internal wishes even trumps one's biological nature. And of course, the ELC has promulgated transgenderism vigorous way. You probably remember the youth conference in which 30,000 kids were propagandized by a young transgender child of 10 years old. Anyway, it seems to be a wholesale accommodation of the culture in many ways, and the culture is going to turn around, it seems, more and more to go after classical Christians. And as you know, there are all sorts of reflections now about what the role of the Christian church was going to be. In a time of soft totalitarianism, as Rod Dreher calls it, or just outright persecution.
I'm curious, you had mentioned before the renaming ceremony that was done for a transgendered individual that looked a lot like a rebaptism. In the marriage rite for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what direction is that going to accommodate the sexual revolution?
Well, they changed all the language of the marriage rite so that there's no he, she in it. They're just names. And you can choose whether you want to be a husband, wife, spouse, or life partner. And the language of procreation is dropped out, which in the classic Lutheran marriage service, there's always the promise of children. Well, that's dropped out. I just looked at them, and of course, it's nice language, but it's massaged so that it can be used for same-sex marriages. By the way, one little change in language I've adopted is I do not use gender nearly as much as I used to. I use sex, biological sex, because male and female, he created them, and gender now has become so flexible. It's a weapon now to accommodate this expressive individualism that I've talked about, where everybody constructs their own reality, even independent of their biological nature.
So you said they're trying to guide the conversation. Is it pretty clear where they want the conversation to go in the future?
Well, I think so. They think this is a great blessing, but meanwhile, the church continues to lose members rapidly. So the hope that this would be a great evangelical tool hasn't worked out at all. Now, one shouldn't say that's the main cause. Most churches are declining in America, some more rapidly than others, but the ELCA is rapidly declining. A lot of it has to do with age and low birth rates. But certainly it didn't turn out to be any great evangelical tool to increasing membership.
Why is that? Why are these things always tied together, that we have to do this for the sake of the mission? What in the world does that mean?
Well, I think the churches have not been very vigorous in spreading the gospel. And one way to try to do that is to appeal to groups that have been turned off by the church. And, of course, gay people often have been turned off by the church. But it doesn't appear that there's any great influx of gay people into the ELCA at all. Just like after all the huffing and puffing on racial issues, quotas and all that, the numbers of black people in the ELCA have declined. So it's a matter of evangelism, of really going after people who have been on the margins.
You had mentioned this group, Reconciling Works, and that it is well-funded. What do we know about that?
Well, there's a huge staff. I just looked up the staff, and I was astounded at how many people are on the staff, and they're working across the country to get congregations to adopt Reconciled in Christ. That was their strategy before the 2009 decision of the ELCA. And, of course, it's a very deceptive one. Who doesn't want to affirm being reconciled in Christ? But what it meant was accepting the whole gay agenda. If you were reconciled in Christ congregation, that meant you accept the blessing of gay marriages, and you accepted partnered gay pastors, and you changed your theology and reading of the Bible. The rumor was, and I have no doubt that it's true, is that Julius Soros contributed a great deal of money to Lutherans Concern. That was the first group, Lutherans Concern, and it developed a strategy called Reconciled in Christ. Now the group is called Reconciling Works.
So we used to speak about the ELCA as a liberal Lutheran church body. Has it gone beyond that?
Well, where's liberal Protestant gone and Protestantism gone? It's definitely gone in more of a strident direction. So on a few salient points like universalism, there's more and more affirmation of universalism, which doesn't help evangelism much, right? If everybody's going to go to heaven sooner or later, it's kind of dangerous to evangelize them now. Anyway, that's one of them. And the sexuality issues are the other front. And, of course, the culture is pushing very hard on the sexuality front. And abortion, you can just list the number of items that are characteristic of liberal Protestantism as that it drifts off into cultural accommodation.
There was a tweet that was posted by the ELCA's official account on Twitter back in April that referred to God as Mother God. There was a lot of reaction to it. It even made some national press. Is that related to this accommodation to the sexual revolution?
Oh, certainly. The Evangelical Lutheran Worship, which is the new hymnal of the ELCA, commissioned a translator of all the Psalms to avoid masculine language about God. So while it accepts Lord, it very few Father, very few God, very few Hises, no masculine pronouns. So all the Psalms were retranslated to avoid masculine language, and a lot of hymns have been retranslated not to include masculine language, particularly for God, or inclusive language for the human community. So it's a kind of a relentless, never-ending effort to purge the Christian tradition from masculine language about God.
Finally then, Dr. Benny, where is this ultimately headed? Just when you think they can't take it another step, they go ahead and do it. Where do you think it's ultimately headed for the ELCA?
Well, I think just decline and merging. You know, the United Church of Canada is a bunch of Protestant denominations that are declining. So what I foresee is a kind of a United Church of America of liberal Protestants, which will be made up of the declining churches who agree on the kind of liberal agenda that they've all accepted. There's a bigger split now between the Orthodox and liberals in one denomination than there is between denominations. The Orthodox people within Presbyterianism and Episcopalian or Anglicanism feel a lot more closer to each other. So my own opinion is that the Lord is winnowing out the Christian community, and those that accommodate too much to culture are going to just continue to decline. They won't be able to take the pressure that the culture is pushing on Christianity, but there will be the faithful, and they will be a much more disciplined community that will catechize their people better and will might be able to weather and even flourish in a more hostile environment, a post-Christian environment.
Dr. Robert Benny is Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College. Dr. Benny, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always good to talk with you, Todd.
Hadley Arkus is with us on the other side of the break to talk about slavery and contemporary calls for social justice. A little history next. What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Teach, learn, connect at Louisville's Our Savior Lutheran Church and School. Our school is the only LCMS school in the greater Louisville metro area. It's a traditional Christian school with a rich history of academic excellence. From preschool through eighth grade, our teachers, staff, and church congregation connect with children across our city every day. Learn more online at Facebook or Twitter, or call 502-426-0864.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio; Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; Mount Olive Lutheran, Cleveland Heights, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington; St. Mark Lutheran, Waco, Texas; St. Timothy Lutheran, Dayton, Ohio; and Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.